We can start whenever you guys are ready.
Oh, it is, we are at that hour. Okay. Roll call? Or we have to call the order first, huh?
Call the order.
Okay.
You're leading this? Oh my God.
This part is called the order.
Scott Henderson.
Yeah, we need to establish a quorum, so roll call.
Scott Henderson.
Jane Benner.
Wayne Barth. We have a, that is quorum, is it not?
Yes.
Okay. Jim, would you do the honors and say and pledge of allegiance for us?
Oh, I guess.
If you remember. You're old.
Ready?
Yes.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Now, has everybody read the minutes of July 10th?
I did.
Do we need to take a minute to finish them?
Tom Waller's here.
Tom.
Pardon?
Tom's here.
Tom's here.
Hey.
Tom's here.
Tom's here. That looks like a Tom.
You're done.
Tom's here. I will entertain a motion to approve or disapprove changes.
I'll make the motion to approve the minutes.
I have a question about the minutes.
Okay.
I don't know. I thought I asked about a right turn lane by McDonald's and got 10 minutes about that.
Okay.
Is that something that...
Well, we can put in the minutes on this meeting, okay. Just to get it in there.
Sure.
You bet.
Tom, did you read the minutes?
I did not.
Do we need to spend some time for you to... You were at the last meeting, so
I was.
I don't know how the memory's working, but... He's old, too.
He's old.
Yeah, he's old.
He's got gray hair, he's got to be.
Some of us have gray hair.
I haven't quite reached your level of oldness.
Reached your level of oldness.
When it's gray, you shave it off.
Or...
Or...
No. No, I didn't have enough to color, so I shaved it off.
Looks good to me.
I already made the motion.
You hear a second?
A second.
Oh.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, carried. Update on the water and wastewater program.
Yes.
I'm assuming that's falling in your area there, Jake?
Yeah, I can take that one.
Okay.
Before I get started, though, I want to introduce Ken Douglas, our new Public Works lead. He's in the audience over there.
Good morning.
Last,
Hi, Ken.
Welcome, Ken.
Officially last week, October 1st.
Good morning.
His presence has definitely been welcomed in the midst of a pretty busy year. And it's going to be a good fit for our team. He previously came for Ferguson Water Supply out of Redmond. Been there for 13 years. He was a branch manager there. And done a lot of projects with Ken in the past, and it seems like it's going to be a good fit.
Very good. Very good.
And that gives me to the water wastewater projects. So we put a pretty good focus on the survey of work, specifically with Cagle and Glenwoods, looking at all the services out there, where the collection lines are gonna go, where the water distribution lines are gonna go, and looking at all the private septic systems and the components we can use and the components we can't use out there. And just where all those exist. Last time we talked to Anderson Perry, beginning of this week, they were about 80% complete on all those survey work. So they still got a few more that had some trouble contacting a few of the properties up there. So what they're gonna do now, instead of doing another mailer out, they're gonna do some door hangers. That kind of talks about, hey, We're in the final stages of this. We need to get this, these last few steps figured out. Your cooperation is appreciated. By no means does it mean we're going to take any easements or anything of that nature. We just need access to the property to figure out these final steps of where the utilities are going to be. So that's where we're at right now. And as far as Anderson Perry is concerned, we are still on target to have this wastewater design completed by March, which is our deadline for the CDBG grant that we acquired, that $1.2 million grant for wastewater. We need to have the wastewater design completed and submitted by March. So some of the other components that we've been looking at is obviously the septic receiving station was a big one. That design is pretty much nailed down. We're looking at a lot where the fifth lagoon is going to go. Got some contemporary ideas where that's going to go. The irrigation associated with the new pivots. That's all on our property, so those are pretty easy hurdles to jump over because we own the land. We're just trying to figure out ideally where we want those components. That's what we're looking at right now as well. And then we're looking at lift stations up there too, where the lift stations could be, how many. Trying to, you know, at first they were thinking that might be 8 lift stations. They said, I don't like that idea a whole lot. Let's try to figure out how we can dwindle those down. Now we're back to 3, which originally was the plan. So, I mean, this ball is definitely still rolling. It's been busy. A lot of work's going into this project right now. We're going to have probably a little bit of an update for our barbecue event that we have coming up this month on October 25th. But timeline's still doing good. No hiccups yet. Still looking at the water system. Talking with our funders on there because there's going to be possibly some plan changes on where that reservoir is going to go. Originally, we thought the north end of town, we're going to put a new reservoir in a well. I think we had a gold mine with our current site. We could put another reservoir there, and the current wells can support the capacity that would be needed to fill that reservoir. And we've been in talks with Mid-State and coordinated how that would work with their existing easement with the Forest Service up there, with their power line coming down to Beatstown.
Have you submitted an SF-299 to the Forest Service yet?
I know Anderson Perry's is, yes.
Oh.
Yep.
Okay. Can I review it before it gets sent off? Or?
Sure. Yeah, I'll talk to him today or tomorrow. And if I try to keep this meeting going fast today, I apologize. There's a lot of stuff going on out in the field today. It's going to be possibly a crazy day ahead. And I'll explain later. Hopefully, I don't have to do too much explaining, but there's a lot of stuff going on with construction and stuff and some possible fires we got to put out today. So we'll see. My phone starts ringing. I apologize, but there's some stuff going on out in the field today. All these contractors are trying to get stuff done before the snow flies. And I totally understand, but sometimes it causes problems too.
Well,
do you have any questions about water, wastewater? That's the project in a nutshell right now. A lot of engineer work going in right now.
So you're not going to change any of the pump sizes there? It's all existing wells are going to feed into.
We would probably, yes, we'd probably update and increase the pump size on those existing pumps as part of the project. Instead of, you know, investing that money into another well and another pump, we'd probably put that money towards the existing 2 pumps. Upgrade those. They're roughly 17 years old at this point.
You got to run a line over to the other side of the city?
Yes. Yeah. They have its own dedicated transmission line.
Right,
to the north
right.
End.
In case something happens to the light it did before.
Yep. Yeah. The redundancy is still there. It's just a different
right.
Layout of redundancy.
Right.
Yep. It'd be a totally separate feed going to the north end. 16-inch transmission main.
Yeah. Sounds good.
We did a lot of research on that this summer. See if those wells could support it and if the aquifer could support it. We got pretty good results back.
Good.
No other comments, let's move on into the update on streetscape improvements.
Yes, it's been a crazy summer for the highway corridor of La Pine. It's starting to come to hopefully an end here pretty quick. You've seen a lot of the hardscape elements get completed. Right now, they're focusing on the refuge islands for the pedestrian crossings.
Yeah.
So start seeing those get constructed. Last I heard, they were planning on being completed with most of the work in October. Now, I do know there's going to be some landscaping elements. I'm not sure if they're including that part of it, but October's ticking pretty fast right now, so we'll see.
Yeah.
They can't do too much landscaping because of winter coming on.
Right. So maybe that's something we see in the spring coming after.
Yeah,
that.
Right.
Yeah, it's looking really nice. It's taken a while, but I think everybody's kind of starting to embrace the project and see that we're getting a pretty good product out of it.
Yeah, they're going to start looking really good once the landscaping gets in and all that.
Yeah, you get all the cones off the highway, you get all the construction off the highway.
Yeah.
You add our tourism season to the middle of that, and 4th of July and the whole nine yards,
it was a
busy summer.
Yeah.
For sure. And I've been in talks with Rodoc quite a bit back and forth about the project and the Mid-State too. Specifically with that transit site. We had a conference call this morning as well with some design layouts for that site. Any questions on that project?
No.
Really?
It's looking good. Be glad when it's done.
Yeah, it's just kind of biting the lower lip waiting.
At first it was kind of bumpy road when they first started.
Yeah.
Just getting on the same page with everybody. But it seemed like we got to a good relationship and started figuring things out.
They didn't interrupt the traffic too much.
No.
Which is good.
The paving was really what was disruptive, but they stayed pretty much at night for the paving portions of it.
Yeah, right.
Was that a totally ODOT project, or was the city involved?
We did assist with the street, some of the streetscape elements, yes. I can't give you an exact number, but it was 300,000 roughly. But it was about an $8 million project. But that doesn't just include the city of La Pointe. So they started just south of Center River and continued through it. A lot of those costs were asphalt and paving.
So what percentage are we done?
I'd say we're in the 80 percentile, somewhere in there.
Good.
You still got street lights that need to go up. They're all sitting there on site. You need the actual crosswalk infrastructure that goes with that, but it's getting close. Landscaping.
Mm-hmm. Good.
I know Mid-State's done with most of their stuff.
We're 100% done of the bed broadband.
Right.
Left the poles, so we're going to go back and pull them.
Are they going to pull them, or are you going to pull them and charge them?
We're going to pull them and charge them because they didn't do it.
Right.
Sounds only right.
And as soon as they clear up that north end, we'll get that other light set.
Okay.
But they got stuff stacked there.
Stored there on site.
Stored there.
Right.
Work right. Any other comments?
Maybe I coordinate with them and see if we can move some of that stuff sooner than later.
You can give us a drive all the way back to where that transformer sits in the northwest corner.
Okay. That's all I got on it. It's been a big project.
You all done?
Yep.
It's taken years for it to come to fruition. It'd be nice when we get that east side done as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you know, I thought it'd be nice to have them both going at the same time, but I couldn't imagine what the highway would be like if we had construction going on both sides.
At the same time?
Yeah. So that kind of does make sense, I suppose.
So all I got to do basically is finish the islands and stripe.
Right. Yep.
So what's the plan for the east side?
I haven't heard yet. I haven't talked about it. I've been focused on the west side.
Not focused on right now.
Mm-hmm.
The east side, what does that entail?
So just doing basically what they're doing right now on the other side of the highway. There's very few improvements going on the east side of 97.
Yeah.
At some point, they'll do the same thing.
Okay. I thought that was.
Well, they're going to do is ADA compliance with the crosswalks. They have to do that.
Wasn't the understanding that any curbs or ADA ramps that were bad, they had to replace?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Any place where pedestrians are crossing, they have to improve that right of way for them.
I kind of thought that was understood when we started the whole thing.
Yep.
One side of it. Any public comments that you've seen?
Well, sure, weekly.
I mean, other than you're in my way.
But as they get used to it and saw that, you know, these improvements were going in and how much it, you know, made their businesses look nicer, and they kind of got on board with it.
Change,
but yeah, they're still trickling.
Change is painful.
A lot of them have been good comments, positive.
Yeah.
At first it wasn't so much.
Change is painful, so, you know, when you...
Well, yeah, it disrupts the normalcy of life, right?
Yeah.
When you see the movement long enough and you become a little more adjusted, then you can see the end coming out.
And I get it. It's frustrating. You got a business and both your entrances are closed and you have to use the business next door.
Yeah.
You know, that's like, well, we still have access to your business. It's like, yeah, but not very good.
No.
But patience was key.
I'm glad you were handling all that. That was...
I wasn't handling all of it, just little bits of it. But you know, people, if they have a concern, we usually hear about it first.
Yeah. Okay, any more comments? Okay, let's move on to the service agreement.
Actually, Scott, you were going to talk about the striping?
Yeah, I didn't know if you want that public. Yeah, so if striping's coming up, I'd really like to.
So they said they're only going to stripe what pavement they've put in, the new pavement. So you can see it stops.
Right.
Just south of where you were talking about.
Yeah.
So I'm going to address it again and say, hey, we need to restripe the whole corridor through town.
Okay.
And just see. I mean, OSHA's going to tell us pretty much one way or the other. But we have some skin in the game.
Okay.
Their response was they're only striping the new pavement. And I went up there. I went for a walk to go walk, and it stops just south of there. It's like.
Yeah, I saw that.
So Scott's comment was, is there any plan to put in a turn lane as you turn onto Reed if you're heading north for like the McDonald's and all that, a turn lane right there? Because traffic seems to stack up pretty good right there. And a lot of those people are making a right-hand turn onto Reed.
Yeah, they're afraid to go into the bike lane to do it.
Right. That's the question I had with ODOT. Are they going to make a right, they're going to make a turn lane there? And they said they're not going to stripe any of that.
They're not going to stripe any of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's going to stay current.
Yeah.
So what does that leave us with?
I'm going to ask them what a bike lane is defined as. A turn lane as well, because a bike on the highway is considered part of the roadway, right?
That's
just like a vehicle.
That's the problem with Oregon, is Oregon's changed a lot of bike laws to make them special. And if they kept them so that they followed the rules of the road, it'd be a lot simpler.
Sure.
I think even for the bikes and the pedestrians to know. But now you got all these different rules that are crazy.
Right. I'm always afraid to use it and take someone out or have someone else pull out right in front of me as I'm coming up through there.
Yeah.
One of the things that California did on their bike lanes, when they got to an intersection, they broke it up, right? And anybody that gets in there first has got the right of way, whether it be a bike or a car.
Sure.
That way people can get in there and make your right turn.
Yeah.
You know, and not be stacked up like they're doing now.
Yeah.
It's very simple cure. You can still have the bike lane, but then you have right of way.
In Oregon actually does that in some spots. They did it on the southbound. They had a little more room and they did. You can see the bike lane go dashed. There's plenty of room with narrowing that.
Oh, they got plenty of room. Yeah.
And
but everybody sees the straight white lines, you know, with the other cross line, and everybody thinks you can't go in there.
Yeah.
So that's what holds up the right turns.
I lived in Portland for 20 years. You want to talk about bike lanes?
Good boy.
And they were a
Let me ask, is it mandatory to have the bike lanes by the state?
I believe so.
Yeah, I think federal regulations require like a 4 foot.
Because I haven't seen anybody use the bike lane.
They don't use it very well.
If nobody's using it, why have we?
Right. If you build it, they will come, I suppose, right?
Yeah.
I'll ask them what their theory is on that intersection with the bike lane.
And see if they can make it to where there is, both can use it, you know, when you come to an intersection, to make a right turn. That's easy to do.
They're pretty brave souls just using a bike on Highway 97.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But we're getting a lot of races and events coming to Central Oregon, and that wouldn't surprise me if we see one that comes through La Pine in the future, too.
Yeah.
Most of them out on the highway observe traffic rules.
Right.
I mean, they try to blend in with traffic. Generally, once you get into city environments, then they think they have some special dispensation that they can go wherever they want, whenever they want, and it's the motorist's job to watch out for them,
mm-hmm.
which brings up the frustrations with things like in front of McDonald's or, you know.
Right.
Just need to be a lot more cooperation.
I'll try to get some clarity on that spot for you guys. And I'll reach out to you, Scott, when I know the answer.
Sounds good.
Okay. Was that other concerns?
About the professional service agreement.
Yeah, we probably should do that one too.
That's what I got on here.
So number 7, we've talked about this in the past, going out for a pilot project for our septic tanks, having a contractor going through and doing those septic services for a set number of tanks in our system. So we limited the scope of the project. We put it out for quote, request for quote. We had one contractor put a quote for it. What we did was get them to bid on a per gallon basis. So doesn't matter what size of tank it is, give us a per gallon basis and we can do the math, basically. Now, in my mind, before I put this project to fruition, I set aside $30,000 in our budget specifically for it, if we were gonna do it or not. And I said in the project parameters, we're gonna do roughly approximately 150,000 gallons worth of septage, which can be if they're shared tanks or they're single tanks. If they were single tanks, a 1,000-gallon tank, that'd be 150 septic tanks, correct? If they were 1,000 gallons each. If they're shared tanks or 2,000 or 3,000-gallon tanks, obviously that drops. So we're gonna probably focus on 70 to 90 tanks in this project, which puts us really close to the 150,000-gallon mark. With the bid price that they've put forth at 21 cents a gallon, at 150,000 gallons, it'd be $31,500 is what their quote was. So pretty close to what I was thinking with that project. Mm-hmm.
So what you're trying to do is the city get out of doing it themselves?
Not entirely, no, but just, you know, focus on some of these portions of town so we can keep up on these services. This is a very necessary service that we need to keep going to keep our collection system healthy.
Yeah.
And with four guys, me being one of them, it's hard to dedicate just someone pumping tanks 24/7. Just the nature of public works now. We're doing a lot of different things, whether it's we're out the cemetery or streets projects, water, sewer. This frees us up to focus on other things as well. We're never gonna get out of pumping tanks ourselves. We're gonna still do those commercially, residentials. But if we knock off these big chunks, it really keeps us ahead of the game on a proactive approach, not just a reactive approach.
Yeah, you're limited with the manpower you have, so you can only do so much.
Right, and then as we do these tanks, we're gonna plug them into our GIS system that we have now, mm-hmm. and it helps us build this preventative maintenance plan, right? We can tell exactly when these tanks were serviced, and then we can put a time frame associated with the next time they need to pop up.
Right.
Most of these tanks aren't in our system right now, our GIS system. This allows them to get in there, put the data in there, then we can say, we need to come back to these tanks in 3 years. And we can populate that in there and say, hey, I want to see all tanks that have been pumped in the last 3 years. that'll populate up on the screen.
Yeah.
Which ones, if they don't pop up, we know we need to start focusing on this portion of the town.
Right.
We can start building that rotation of going through town. And as we know, we're going to probably get another 300 customers here pretty quick in the next 2 years. So we're just trying to build this maintenance plan to help rotate through town so we're not forgetting residential tanks. This kind of helps set us up for it.
So how many do you do yourself, your crew?
We probably do probably half that in a year.
So extra manpower, you still wouldn't be able to keep up with it?
I don't think so. When I first started in 09, we had 4 guys, and they were just special districts then. I was with the sewer district, and I pumped tanks 4 days out of a 5 day week, probably, and we still weren't keeping up on it. Back then.
It's not getting any better.
It's not. It's stuff that keeps you up on that. It's little things that, because you're going to get called out after hours if there's a problem. It's usually going to be around your sewer system. And it's a tank that's getting neglected more often than not.
Yeah.
I want to get to a point where we're on top of it and we can strategically go around and start servicing like they need to be. Whether it's in-house, whether it's a contractor and in-house, or we just try to figure out what makes the most sense. We won't know that until we try out this pilot program and see how it works. And they're probably going to accomplish this in about 2 months, that whole section we're going to give them.
See if it's feasible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They can just focus on pumping. They don't need to do anything else but that.
Yeah.
What is the average household occupancy?
Probably 3 to 5. With a 1,000 gallon tank. So you're looking at probably residential, a 5 year cycle, and if they're a shared tank that drops down for frequency, you need to go there. If it's a shared tank, you have basically double the amount hitting that septic tank.
Yeah.
Are you looking as the plan grows, that occupancy rate is gonna increase?
You're gonna see a shared tank go away too. I don't allow shared tanks anymore in my system on a residential aspect,
yeah.
Unless it's multifamily or something like that. But it's strictly residential, single family home. I'm not gonna allow 2 lots to share that tank.
Yeah.
Just from a maintenance standpoint.
Yeah.
You said you just got,
No, go ahead.
You just got one bid?
Just one.
And who was the bid from?
Applying Septic Service, but it says Central Oregon Sanitation Services. That's their overall name.
Yeah. Yeah, it says right there.
Well, Applying Septic Service, you see their trucks running around. They do, you know, all the outside work. Not all of it, but, you know, there's probably 3 main contractors that are going to do it. I reached out to 6 different ones in Central Oregon.
Do you think they're just too busy to take on, to take on additional work? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Just logistically, if they're not located nearby, it doesn't make a lot of sense to dedicate a truck just to here all the time.
No, I'm just glad it's here at the point, not somebody from Bend or something.
I was worried. I just never know if, you know,
yeah,
somebody's going to come over and say, hey, throw a number at it. And
yeah, if it's better, it makes sense, but rather keep it here in town.
Absolutely.
So how long does it take to pump a tank?
Just depends the size and what the contents are and the last time it was serviced. It could take anywhere from 20 minutes to an hour to do it right. You got to clean filters and check on a few things. An hour would be extreme, but sometimes if the solid contents, you know, severe, you have to have a water content to get it out of there. So sometimes you pump it and you have to come back the next day to get the rest of it. So you end up spending an hour on it for more.
Yeah.
Sounds good. So you're gonna make a mandatory pump schedule? Every 5 years or once?
Yeah, just depending on the use, yep.
Yeah.
And it's a shared tank, or how many people live in the household.
But is that something that the city's gonna
build?
Well, is something that the city's going to require a time frame for that?
Yeah, it'll be what we require, yes. It'll be our time frame. We'll build that program on frequency and a preventative maintenance schedule on those tanks. Just like Mid-State has preventing the maintenance schedule on power poles that have been in service for a certain amount of time. If they start getting to a certain age, I'm assuming they're going through and replacing them before they fail.
Test and treat them.
Yep.
We don't change them out every 5 years.
You don't wait till they fall over either.
Try not to.
Right. But some of them fall, right?
It happens.
Interesting what I've seen going across the country last few months is that how different co-ops and things have. You see power poles, old power poles out on some roads and they're propped up with 2x4s and 4x4s and any other trees that are close to help hold them up as opposed to replacing. I noticed a lot of that coming across, that there was